back in February of this year, we invited you, our wonderful, enthusiastic community, to be part of the Plan Strong Test Kitchen and provide us with feedback around our all-new burger mixes. And I got to tell you, the feedback and support that you guys showed us blew us away, and we have been hard at work in the kitchen, and we now have our first program graduates, three delicious skillet burger mixes. We're going to be launching them into the universe so you can stock up ahead of Memorial Day weekend. You can check them out at planstrong.com. The three flavors are black bean, portobello mushroom, and our all-new sweet curry. Once mixed with 6 to 7 ounces of water or broth, the dough may be pan-fried, air-fried, or baked to a crispy, aromatic, rich golden brown. These mixes, they take the hard work out of making healthy burgers at home and yield quality, quality results. They're whole grain, oil-free, a great source of protein and fiber, and they're made from a combination of ground oats, beans, seeds, and spices without any of the added sugar or excessive salt. I want to thank all of you for being such an important part of the Plant Strong Test Kitchen, and I know that you're going to love these as much as I do. Thanks so much.
I was 420 pounds with a 66-inch waist, a size 6XL shirt. I was at a point, Rip, where I, in another year or so, would have been too large to shop out of a big and tall catalog. And I knew that I was overweight. It was drive-thrus and it was pizza. And over time, you know, became more and more and more of a food addict to the point where I got completely out of control. Yeah.
How much do you weigh right now?
145.
I'm Rip Esselstyn, the founder of Engine 2. In season one of the Plant Strong podcast, I'm going to be working with Joe Inga, a New York City firefighter assigned to Engine 72 in the heart of the Bronx. Joe reached out to me to regain his lost health that has been spiraling out of control over the last 12 years as a firefighter. I've marshaled together a network of doctors, Navy SEALs, TV producers, fellow firefighters, and nutritionists so we can all team up to coach Joe, and maybe even you. Along with motivating and educating Joe, I'm going to take Joe from a couch potato to a veritable sweet potato triathlete in less than 6 months. Join in as Joe gains traction and confidence and momentum with each episode until he truly believes he can become the man he was destined to be. Welcome to Plant Strong. Last week, we had our first check-in with Joe. And I want you all to know, I am so proud of Joe. He is doing so well. And as far as his numbers go, he's down almost 30 pounds with his weight loss, his cholesterol, LDL, triglycerides, his lipid panel is improving rapidly. But I would be remiss to gloss over his slip-up at Burger King. Joe has a history of being a fast food junkie. And so I want to put a little weight on this. As I mentioned last week, mistakes are going to happen, right? That's just an undeniable part of being human. And I want you to know that eating plant-based, it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing proposition. But the truth of the matter is, you are going to realize your undeniably best results when you commit all the way. You're going to get the greatest results with weight loss, with your lipid panel, as far as reclaiming your lost palate that's been hijacked from you. My father, Dr. Caldwell B. Esselstyn Jr., loves to say moderation kills. I have a whole chapter in my second book, Plan Strong, called Lose the Moderation Mentality. So I want you to know, if you slip up, I don't want you or Joe or anyone else to beat yourself up, but I want you to dust yourself off, and I want you to get right back after it. Now, getting back to Joe. Joe's in a bit of a different situation, though. He's been very open about his fight with alcoholism. He's been sober for over 6.5 years now, and he is making it happen. But as anyone who suffers with an addictive personality knows, it's important that we are nipping this in the bud quickly, and we're addressing any underlying stresses that Joe or even you might potentially be facing.
Taco Bell's Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Warm flatbread covered in 3 melted cheeses, wrapped around a crunchy taco and topped with a zesty pepper jack sauce. For a textural taste sensation, think outside the bun.
New, the French toast sandwich. Maple-licious bread, hugging that breakfast goodness. Can't wait for that sweet thing. Wake up with the king.
With double cheeseburgers for $1 each, I can keep the party jumping. McDonald's Dollar Menu. A whole lot of what I love for a little bit of change.
What is it about fast food restaurants that make us drawn to them in some ways like a moth to flame? Well, I can tell you in 3 words: salt, sugar, and fat. In Michael Moss's book, Salt, Sugar, and Fat, he talks about how these executives of the world's largest food companies, they have one job to do, and that's to maximize sales and profits. And they deliberately entice customers by stuffing their products with, you guessed it, salt, sugar, and fat. Dr. David Kessler, the former head of the Food and Drug Administration, in his book, The End of Overeating, talks about how these food manufacturers, these food giants, they put salt on top of sugar, on top of fat, and then they put more salt on top of sugar, on top of fat, and then they have the unmitigated tenacity to put more salt on top of sugar, on top of fat. And we all have receptors in our brain for salt, sugar, and fat, just like we do for nicotine and heroin and cocaine, but they hyperinflate these substances to the point to where our brains go off like a pinball machine, and we are asking for more and more and more. And these are also appetite stimulants, and we are essentially almost held hostage to these fast food restaurants and some of these food products. I was just interviewed for the Exam Room podcast, which is developed by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It is hosted by Chuck Carroll, and I was so moved by our conversation and his personal story of food addiction and how he was able to conquer that and is now realizing health benefits from a plant-based diet beyond his wildest dreams, that I asked him if we could turn the mics around and if he would allow me to interview him and see what advice he has for Joe and anyone else that is out there. You have an amazing journey yourself that you've been on. Not too long ago, you can tell us when.
It's been a number of years, okay. Actually. We're coming up on 10 years now.
Okay, 10 years.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
36.
So you're 36 years old, and at the age of 26, you were pushing what kind of weight?
420 at my heaviest.
420 pounds.
And putting it on fast.
And how tall are you?
I'll lie and say 5'6", but in reality, it's like 5'5.5".
Okay.
So I'm a very short guy.
So, I mean, I think it's fair to say that you were morbidly obese.
That would be the understatement of the century. Uh-huh. I was 420 pounds with a 66-inch waist, a size 6XL shirt. I was at a point, Rip, where I, in another year or so, would have been too large to shop out of a big and tall catalog. You know, you think 420 pounds, and you see these shows, and it's certainly not a competition, but you see these shows like My 600-Pound Life, and, you know, some of the guys that are on there are close to, you know, 6 feet tall. So their waist never gets up to 66 inches. But if you shop out of these big and tall catalogs, in my case, it was more short and fat, but you really, they will only make the waist size up to a certain circumference, and I believe 70 was the cutoff, man. So I was running out of time.
Well, and how is it? Explain to me how somebody gets to 420 pounds, because I'm not sure I quite understand how that happens.
Doesn't happen overnight, and really it wasn't until I started working here at the Physicians Committee that I really began to understand that it started very early in childhood. I was always overweight as a child, the chubby kid in class, and I remember being mortified, I think in the second or third grade, when I got weighed in at school, and I was over 100 pounds. And I remember like looking up to the teacher, and I was like, man, I got to go on a diet. And so that was the first time that that really popped onto my radar, but I didn't really know what that meant. And so the pounds kept piling on. Nobody in my family really knew a whole heap about nutrition. Come from a single parent household, mom worked, so there wasn't a whole lot of time for cooking.
Was she overweight?
Oh, yeah. Not her entire life. She got heavier as she got older. My dad was certainly overweight. He got up to probably close to 400 at his heaviest as well. So that really ran in the family. But, you know, when you're young and your home-cooked meals are, you know, French fries and baked beans and macaroni and cheese and hamburgers and things like that, then you're not going to be the skinny kid in class.
So you're 420 pounds. Do you have any other medical issues going on? Are you diabetic yet? Are you hypertensive?
Hypertensive for sure. And well on my way to being diabetic. I was actually put on blood pressure medication in high school. I was 15 or 16 at the time. And my blood pressure was like around 185 over 110. Sometimes it would get 195. I, you know, sometimes thought it would be a game. Can I ever make it up to 200? You know, teenager, what did I really know? But I was put on blood pressure medication, and I didn't really grasp the gravity of that. You know, I mean, that's such a huge deal to be put on beta blockers when you're sophomore or junior in high school. But there I was, you know, and I knew that I was overweight. It was drive-throughs, and it was pizza, and over time, you know, became more and more and more of a food addict to the point where I got completely out of control.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that in a second.
Sure.
But before we do, can you remember what would a typical day of eating look like for Chuck Carroll?
Yeah.
Back when you're, 20, 21, 22?
Yeah. So at my heaviest, you know, a lot of times I would actually skip breakfast, which turns out was a huge mistake. It is the most important meal of the day, and they're not lying when they say that. But then I would have an enormous lunch. I remember 21, 22, I was working in radio. I was working up the street at here in the DC area, a radio station, big 100.3. So this kind of fueled my obesity as well, because this was my big break on air. And I thought, wow, to be on big 100.3, I have to play this big Chuck character. And they played it up, and it was great. It was my first taste of, you know, celebrity, if you want to call it that. It was local radio. And so I would use that as my excuse to go across the street to Subway and get a foot-long tuna sub with extra mayonnaise, and then a 6-inch BMT on top of that, of course, with the bag of chips and the large soda that goes with it. And I knew that that was a lot of food. So I would come back to my office and close the door and eat privately in there, you know, 18 inches of sub, and that would be lunch. On the way home, I would go to 7-Eleven and get like 6 items off of the rollers.
What's a roller? What is that?
It's the thing where they cook the hot dogs or they have taquitos on them. Like, I was a big fan of the buffalo chicken taquito. And it got to a point at the 7-Eleven at one point, they knew I was coming in to buy cigarettes and taquitos. They knew I would be there at like 2 o'clock every day. And so they would just have 6 fresh taquitos ready for me. Mm. And I'd get my Gatorade, pick up my smokes, my taquitos, and off I would go. And so that was my snack on the snack, mind you, on the drive home. Dinner was typically Taco Bell, and I would get $20 worth of food from there. And this was 15 years ago. So, I mean, they've raised their prices since then. So back then, I mean, I was getting the good 5-pound sack of food and crushing that. And then
you were just crushing it.
I was crushing it.
And it was crushing you.
In every way imaginable. On nights when I wouldn't have Taco Bell, I would order pizza, but we would always get these flyers in the mail, and they would advertise the office special. You know, 5 pizzas feed your whole office for lunch, and I would do that, and 5 pizzas would last me about 2 days. So I would eat one and then come back and have another one later on that night.
And these are probably with double or triple cheese.
Meat lovers. Or sausage.
Meat lovers.
Or sausage and mushroom, or the Hawaiian ham and pineapple. You know, it's a sad state.
Now, during this time, are you you're smoking cigarettes. Are you also doing alcohol or drugs or anything like that?
I've never talked about this on my show, but what the heck? I'll just put it out there. Yeah, man. I was a major, major, major pothead. Some people think, okay, marijuana, not a big deal. Like, I have such an addictive personality, it was a problem. Like, I was getting high like 5, 6, 7 times a day. Like, I was blowing an inordinate amount of money on marijuana. And so that wasn't helping things either. Alcohol, not so much. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy beer, but that was never my vice, even though alcoholism runs in my family. But, you know, marijuana was, that was it for me, man. Right. That was right.
So you've heard me talk about Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Inga, the Bronx firefighter, who's trying to reclaim his lost health, battled some addiction with alcohol, mm-hmm. and now is trying to embrace the Plant Strong lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, after being really good for 2 months, you know, Burger King was calling his name, and he got the Whopper.
I went through the drive-thru.
Yeah. And what exactly did you order?
I ordered the original chicken sandwich combo, which is like a fried chicken sandwich with iceberg lettuce and mayonnaise.
Okay. All right.
Then it comes with a fries, a soda, and a Whopper Jr., which is like a burger with a lettuce, tomato, onion, mayonnaise.
And I'm just wondering what kind of advice you could give Joe and what he's going through right now. Because I'm looking at a man right now who, I mean, how much do you weigh right now?
145.
145.
Yeah.
You know, you look like you've got your shit together. Right.
Wow, we can cuss on this podcast. That's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. And anyway, you're representing the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so, yeah. What would you tell a guy like Joe?
Slips are going to happen, and that's part of it. Like any addiction. You know, I wasn't able to quit food. And I'm going to put that one in quotes. You know, we can never quit food, but we can certainly quit the way that we've been eating. And so it's just like kicking any other addiction. You know, you're probably not going to do it in your first try. That's no different than every other time you hear somebody talk about yo-yo dieting. That's exactly what they're talking about. If they're not addicted, then right at the, you know, finish line of their goal weight, they go right back to eating chocolate cake as a reward, and that's a whole other thing. But for food addicts and people that just have these addictive personalities, they're prone to addiction, it is so important that you maintain this belief that you can't have just one, because one will hurt me. One absolutely will hurt me, because what that one does is it leads you to the next. And the next, and the next, and the next. So just as I know that if I were to go downstairs and have one cigarette, I would then have one pack of cigarettes, and then another, and I'd be smoking 2 packs a day again. And that is not something that I want. And the same thing holds true for the same type of foods that get you up to 420 pounds, or gets Joe up to whatever weight he's at right now.
Right.
You know, that's the same thing. So I know that Joe slipped and he went to Burger King, because he wanted to see if he could handle it, I think.
Yeah.
Joe, I love you to death. I wish you all the success in the world. That is the worst thing that you can possibly do. Why would you want to reintroduce that into your system?
I think Joe had been perfect
right.
for like 2 months.
Right.
And I think he wanted to test himself, and he wanted to see, okay, how does it make me feel? And I talked to him, and he said he felt absolutely god awful inside, wanted to vomit. But it's like a curiosity, maybe.
Man, I get it, because sometimes I wonder that myself. You know, like, it was so hard for me to kick Taco Bell. You know, I would go through at my heaviest. Like, I was a Taco Bell junkie. I was actually working at a Mexican restaurant. Would leave there and go to Taco Bell afterward. So I had access to free burritos and quesadillas and everything I wanted, but it wasn't Taco Bell.
What was it about the Taco Bell?
I don't know, man. They must put crack in there or something. You know, I've talked to Dr. Barnard about that on the exam room.
Yeah.
And it's the way that this food is just engineered and put together, man. I mean, it sounds like this big, wacky conspiracy theory, but they really do have people in think tanks to, like, come up with ways to get people to eat as much of this food as possible. And I think that if you're prone to addiction or you're a food addict, man, I mean, they are going right to your brain, and it makes it so hard to quit. And so, you know, I hope that Joe doesn't experience food addiction to this extreme. But, you know, I think that the story that I share that really hits home with a lot of people who are super morbidly obese is, you know, trying to kick that habit of Taco Bell on many occasions when I would diet. And the first night, not feel great, but you get through it. The second night, you become, you know, kind of fluish a little bit, and you get kind of cranky. The third night, I would lose all the color in my face, and I would get really cold sweats, and I would start to shake, you know?
You're actually detoxing.
It was a physical detox. It was absolutely a physical detox. And then that night, like, after I'm feeling so sick, at some point it was like, boom, a switch flipped. And I got angry and I got violent. Not to the point where I was attacking anybody, but I had to hit something. So I got out of bed as sick as I was, and I put my fist through a wall. That didn't do it. So I put my fist through a door. Because I wasn't eating a 7-layer burrito. And it seems so crazy to somebody who may not be familiar with addiction or food addiction in this case in particular, but it is real and it is a strong pull. And then because at this time, when I was putting my fist through the wall and through the door, I was on one of these diets and I was doing well, you know, I didn't want to let anybody down, you know, I felt like people were counting on me. So I snuck out in the middle of the night, went to the 24-hour Taco Bell drive-thru, probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, ordered my $20 worth of food, came back, binged, crushed it all, hid the evidence, and then continued on my merry way. I was a much more pleasant guy in the morning, nobody knew why, but, you know.
And so that lasted what, 3 days, and then
three days,
and then that, and then you succumbed to the Taco Bell pull.
Absolutely, it actually, man, you know what? It took. I went to the extreme, and I had weight loss surgery, and I didn't know anything about the plant based diet at that point.
Yeah.
I really wish to God that I did, because I think it would have done me a lot of good. But at the same time, I don't regret the decision, because what the surgery does is, you know, it gives you this 3 to 6 month window where you physically can't tolerate those foods. So you're going to feel like crap anyway after the surgery. So you might as well just go through the detox again at that same time. And so that's what I did. But the interesting thing is, people still, after they make that radical decision to have that surgery, if they go that route, they still go back to those same kinds of foods. And what people don't realize about the surgery is when you go in there, and the doctor's explaining it to you for the first time, a lot of these doctors will also say, well, if this one doesn't take, you can come back for what's called a revisionist surgery.
Well, what does that mean if it doesn't take? Meaning if you somehow out trick it and you gain the weight back again?
Bingo.
Because I've met more people that come to me and they say, Rip, I had the gastric bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. I lost 120 pounds. And then 2 years later, I'm back up and then some.
Right. It's absolutely possible. It's not a quick fix, man.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you do not change your eating habits, if you do not change your lifestyle, you will repeat it and be right back to where you were. And so what the revisionist surgery does is essentially it goes back in there and it will tighten up your stomach for a second time. You know, I guess in my case, I did have gastric bypass. So obviously I didn't want that the second time, but it is my understanding that involves more staples. And essentially you're having the same thing done, but to the best of my knowledge, you cannot have it a third time. You can't have it a fourth time.
How long ago did you have the gastric bypass?
In September, so it's 2019. So in September, September 1st, it will be 10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
And so did you ever put back the weight? I mean, how long have you been eating plant-based?
Coming up on 3 years now. Never put the weight back on. I know that you've had Dr. Loomis on your podcast as well, and he talked about after he went plant-based, he's in this narrow window where his weight really only fluctuates within like a 10-pound window or something like that. That's about the same for me. Mm. And I'm so careful to not put those kinds of foods back in my system because, you know, one, I know a whole lot more now about nutrition and acquired this amazing knowledge, which is so critical. But I'm petrified that if I do that, it's going to be like every other failed diet I ever went on. And I'm going to be right back at the drive-thru the next night and the night after and the night after and the night after. And I do not want to be that guy again. Yeah.
Maybe you've heard us mention the Engine 2 Rescue 10X program with Joe. As part of our support system for Joe, we've enrolled him in our online coaching program. What is it exactly? The Rescue 10X is a 10-week behavioral change intensive program geared towards helping people find their why and develop the daily habits needed to sustain long-term success with the Plan Strong lifestyle. We know how important it is to have a tribe to support you and celebrate your progress. A tribe can also help pull you over the hard patches and hold you accountable. With educational videos, live group calls with Engine 2 coaches, weekly workbooks, at-home exercises, and daily support in our online platform, we invite you to join the next Rescue 10X program and dedicate 10 weeks to changing your game. Visit engine2.com for details and use the code PLANTSTRONG for a $50 discount. How did you find plant-based nutrition?
Very interesting story. I actually also still cover sports for CBS, and I was interviewing a professional wrestler by the name of Austin Aries, and he was like, "Hey, Chuck, you know, I'm plant-based. I just put out this new book. It's amazing, and you need to watch this documentary. It's called What the Health." Mm. That one had just dropped, and I did, and I thought that I was a healthy eater before then, and nope. I was a dairy junkie, and I was eating a ton of chicken breasts like they were going out of style. And
this is after the gastric bypass.
This is absolutely,
you're eating the chicken, you're eating the dairy, you're doing all that.
Eating salmon, yeah.
But because of your gastric bypass, and I guess the size of your stomach, did you feel like you were limited in how much of this you could eat at what's one sitting?
Your stomach is very elastic, so it will stretch back out and expand over time. So I can eat, you know, a really good portion of food now. So, you know, after a few years, your stomach's not the same size that it was, but you can put it away if you want. Mm-hmm. So portions really aren't that big of a deal anymore.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So What the Health?
Yeah.
And now you're kind of, light bulb goes off and you're on your way.
Oh, 100% on my way. I was, you know, always a nutrition nut, and I was a reporter for CBS Radio at that time. And, you know, I was covering the most depressing stories in the world. I mean, you're a firefighter. I'm sure that you've seen some things that you'd prefer not to talk about anymore. And, you know, every day it was going to another scene like that, whether it was, you know, a fatal, or even if it wasn't a fatal, you know, a family loses everything, you know, in their home. And you just see the tears associated with that, the sorrow, the heartbreak, or God forbid, you know, a deadly accident, a murder, whatever. Anyway.
You know, one of the reasons why I went on this was there was a recent incident in October that really kind of woke my eyes up to a lot of things. One of my best friends, Tom Corcoran, he's a firefighter in our firehouse. Him and I, we were working in a different firehouse together, and he had the roof position in the ladder truck, and we got called to a fire on the top floor of the building. And he went up the ladder and he fell off of the roof 35 feet and broke his back. And this happened while I was in the engine and kind of saw him. I didn't see him directly fall, but I heard it. I could still hear the ring of the cylinder, you know, in my head constantly. And I look around the corner and there he is laying there.
That takes a toll on you emotionally. and I wanted to do something positive with my life. I loved talking about weight loss. I loved talking about my story and trying to inspire other people. And so I then pitched the idea of doing this podcast to the Physicians Committee, and they really liked the idea. God bless them. And three meetings later, we had a signed deal, and the exam room has been off and running ever since.
And how long ago was that?
That would have been October 2017, so a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge congrats on that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You mentioned emotions a second ago, and how, you know, the murders, the bad car accidents, and all that stuff, it takes an emotional toll on you. I found that to be the case too as a firefighter. When I was interviewing J.D. Roth, who is the TV producer of, you know, The Biggest Loser and Extreme Weight Loss and The Revolution and all these amazing TV reality TV shows, he mentioned to me that he feels that really to address this weight loss, you have to kind of first find out what's going on at an emotional level. Do you agree with that?
That's definitely a big part of it. Emotion is definitely a very big part of it, because you do build this relationship with food, and it becomes a warm blanket. It's a warm blanket when you're sad. It's a great thing to celebrate with when you're happy. You know, food is your friend, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it's your best friend. Especially for super morbidly obese people, because a lot of times in that case, you become very isolated. You don't want to leave the house, either because you feel like crap or you don't have self-confidence and you don't have a whole lot of friends. So everybody needs a friend. So in my case, you know, my friend was Taco Bell, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know.
But if you had to point to like one like deep-rooted emotional thing in your life that led to it, I mean, do you feel like you know what that is? I mean, maybe we're going deeper than we need to go right now, and just I'm totally cool with that.
Well, what the hell? So when I was in elementary school, I had a babysitter that got a little inappropriate with me. And I didn't realize what a toll that took on me, like that stuck with me. And certainly that was not the only thing, and I'm not using that as a total excuse, but there's that scarring that builds up over time. So that's one thing. You know, being a product of divorce was another thing. You know, Dad moved away hundreds of miles away when I was very young. Why doesn't Dad love me? I don't know. Let me cure that pain with food. Then when you get overweight and you don't have the confidence and you can't get a girlfriend, you know, that stings. So what's your relationship within? It's with food. And then when you do get a girlfriend, and this is an honest to God true story, when you do get a girlfriend, and you're 400 pounds and you know, you think that you're on top of the world, but this girl is so ashamed to be dating somebody so heavy that she doesn't tell her friends that we're dating. She doesn't tell her family that we're dating. She asks that I not tell anybody that we're dating. And this goes on for a year and a half. And I tolerated it because I didn't have the confidence to say, hey, that's not right. I thought that that was the best that I could do. And so that's what I tolerated. And so every time this conversation would come up, you know, it was like being kicked in the jimmies all over again, like really hard, kicked in the jimmies with steel-toed boots. Mm-hmm. And so what do? More pain. Where do you go? Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. That's food addiction, man. It's psychological. It's emotional. Mm-hmm. It's physical. It's a whole bunch of things, man. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard.
Are you seeing somebody right now?
Oh, I'm married, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
Well, so what have you had to eat today? Can you let Joe and those guys know?
Yeah. All right. So breakfast this morning was actually a unique one. I was kind of in a hurry. So it was, I had a little bit of roasted sweet potato left over from last night. So I had that. And then I had some carrots and some Engine 2 hummus. And that was breakfast. You know, it's not your traditional bacon and eggs, but I don't miss that, you know? So like, to me, that was great. And come in here and, you know, come to find out that lunch was a couple of recipes right out of the Engine 2 book, man. I mean, there was this steamed kale with a little bit of nutritional yeast and cheesy chickpeas, and I mean, it was just so good on top of a bed of brown rice. I mean, like, that's eaten right there. It was so good.
It was simple, it was easy, and it was delicious.
Delicious. That's the most important part. You know, it can be difficult, but it's delicious. It makes the difficulty, you know, okay. But if it's simple and delicious, home run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Chuck.
Rip.
This was just an unexpected pleasure.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you being willing to come on at the last moment.
Sure.
I appreciate your willingness to just kind of bear it all. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that will benefit from your courage today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
I want to thank my co-creator of the podcast, Scott Battisil and 10% Media, Lori Kordowich, producer extraordinaire and the Engine 2 director of events, Bumble Media for this podcast production, and Brandon Curtis for everything in between. Thanks to Whole Foods Market for believing in me and giving me a platform for the last 10 years. Special thanks to Joe Inga, our Bronx firefighter, for your courage to not only change your life, but also allowing us to share your story along the way. And lastly, I want to thank my father and mother, Dr. Cobble B. Esselstyn Jr. and Anne Cryle Esselstyn, as well as all the Plant Strong pioneers who have been pushing this boulder uphill for more than 3 decades. As they say, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. And remember, if you're digging the show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, let me say, peace, Engine 2, keep it plant strong. I want to personally invite you to join me and all the other Brock stars for this year's 13th live and in-person Plant Stock event outside of Asheville, North Carolina, in the little town of Black Mountain. It's 1,500 acres, is loaded with wildlife, trees, trails, streams. It is a nature wonderland. And what's also a wonderland are all the incredible speakers that you get to hang with all weekend long, like Jane and Ann Esselstyn, Dr. Will Bolshewitz of Fiberfueled, Carly Bodrug, Miss Plant U, Dr. Gemma Newman is over from the UK. We have Dr. Dawn Musalem from the Mayo Clinic, John Mackey, the ex-CEO of Whole Food Market Stores, myself, Brian Hart, and a special appearance by the Plant Bros. Here's the kicker. All these Brock stars are there from Friday till Sunday, and they want to rub elbows with all of you, whether it's over buffets of Plant Strong fare for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whether it's going on an afternoon hike, a swim, pickleball, frisbee golf, kickball, cornhole, dancing, we're having live music. It's all there in this fun weekend extravaganza that we affectionately call Plant Stock. Simply go to liveplantstrong.com and then click on Plant Stock 2024 and grab yourself a ticket before they sell out. See you there.